This article is brought to you by the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Mistakes people make when responding to toxic traits, and how to avoid them. Stop reacting. Start responding with a system that actually works. In short, after reading this, you will know how to respond to toxic traits in a way that is calm, direct, and grounded in a clear system rather than emotion or guesswork. Name the specific behaviour, not the person's character. Prepare your response before the conversation, not during it. Follow through on boundaries every single time. Definition: toxic traits response refers to the deliberate, structured way you address harmful behavioural patterns in another person, such as manipulation, blame shifting, or persistent aggression, without escalating conflict or abandoning your own standards of respect and clarity. You have been in this situation. Someone on your team or in your life consistently undermines, manipulates, or deflects responsibility. You finally decide to say something. The conversation goes sideways fast. They deny everything, turn it back on you, or shut down entirely. You walk away feeling worse than before you started. Responding to toxic traits is one of the hardest communication challenges I know. Most people get it wrong not because they lack courage, but because they have no system. They go into a charged situation armed only with frustration and good intentions. That combination really works. The real difficulty is that toxic traits are designed, consciously or not, to disarm your response. Manipulation, deflection, and blame shifting are effective precisely because they put you on the defensive. Without a clear framework, you either freeze, blow up, or retreat. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for toxic traits response that you can use immediately. If you're still working out what counts as a toxic trait versus a bad day, start by understanding the patterns before you address them. Why responding to toxic traits is harder than it looks. Knowing you need to address toxic behavior and actually doing it well are two very different things. I have watched capable, confident people completely lose their footing the moment a manipulative colleague turned the conversation around on them. Here is why this is genuinely difficult. The behavior is rarely clear-cut in the moment. Toxic traits often hide behind plausible deniability. The person who constantly interrupts claims they are just enthusiastic. The one who undermines your decisions says they are just asking questions. Naming the pattern feels like overreaction until it has been going on for months. Your emotional response works against you. When someone is manipulative or aggressive, your nervous system responds as if you are under threat. Thinking clearly, choosing words carefully, and staying calm are all harder when your body wants to fight or flee. You do not want to be the villain. Many people hold back because they fear coming across as difficult, vindictive, or unfair. Toxic behavior creates this fear deliberately. It is a form of protection for the person displaying it. Previous attempts have failed. If you have tried to address the behavior before, and it did not work, you carry that failure into every future conversation. It erodes your confidence and makes you second-guess your own read of the situation. The relationship context complicates everything. Addressing toxic traits in a colleague, a direct report, or someone senior to you all require different calibration. The stakes feel different. The power dynamics are real. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, specific documented behavior. You need to know exactly what you are addressing, with examples. You're always negative will get you nowhere. In the last three team meetings, you interrupted the presenter four times and dismissed two ideas before they were fully explained as something you can work with. Specificity is your strongest tool. Without it, the conversation collapses into competing perceptions. Number two, your own emotional readiness. If you are still angry, wait. A response built on raw emotion rarely lands the way you intend. You need enough distance to speak clearly and hold your ground without escalating. This is not about suppressing how you feel. It is about choosing when and how those feelings appear in a conversation. Number three, a clear desired outcome. Before you speak, decide what you actually want to happen. Do you want the behavior to stop? Do you need an apology? Are you putting someone on notice that there will be consequences? Knowing your goal keeps you from getting pulled into tangents or winning arguments that do not serve your purpose. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Name the pattern, not the person. This step is the foundation of any effective toxic traits response. What you say first determines whether the conversation opens up or shuts down immediately. Most people make the mistake of leading with character. You are manipulative. You are toxic. These labels put the other person on the defensive before you have said anything useful. They deny, deflect, and the conversation becomes about who they are rather than what they did. Instead, name the specific behavior and its impact. Keep the other person's identity out of it entirely. Write down the behavior in one sentence before the conversation. When you dismiss other people's ideas in meetings without letting them finish, it shuts down discussion. Separate the behavior from your interpretation of motive. Say what you saw and what effect it had, not what you think it means about the person. Use the word when to anchor your statement in observable reality. When X happens, Y is the result. Practice saying the opening sentence out loud before the conversation. Hearing yourself say it reduces the chance of it coming out wrong under pressure. Avoid the word always or never. These words invite contradiction and move the focus away from the specific incident. Here is what this sounds like in practice. I want to talk about something that happened in Tuesday's meeting. When you cut across Sarah before she finished her proposal, the rest of the team went quiet and the idea did not get a proper hearing. That is the specific pattern I want to address. Once the behavior is named clearly, you've solid ground to stand on for everything that follows. Step 2. Listen before you push. After you name the behavior, stop talking and listen. This is harder than it sounds when the person across from you is defensive or dismissive. A toxic traits response that skips the listening step almost always escalates. You need to hear what the other person says, not because they are necessarily right, but because their response tells you a great deal about what you're working with. Someone who immediately acknowledges the impact is a different conversation than someone who attacks your credibility. Give the other person at least 60 seconds to respond without interrupting. Listen for the three common deflection moves: denial, that never happened, reversal, you do the same thing, and minimization, you're being oversensitive. Write down the deflection tight in your mind. You will need to address it, but not yet. Reflect back what you heard without agreeing or disagreeing. So what I'm hearing is that you do not feel the behavior was a problem. Is that right? Resist the urge to fill silence. Silence is pressure. Let it work. This step gives you information, and it gives the other person a sense of being heard, which lowers the temperature enough to continue. If you are navigating broader team dynamics alongside this, scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy offer specific language for those situations. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Address the deflection directly. Here is the truth of it: almost everyone who displays toxic traits will deflect when confronted. Prepare for it. This step is where most people lose their footing. Deflection is not evidence that you are wrong. It is a defense mechanism. Your job is to acknowledge the deflection without abandoning the original point. This requires a clear, calm script prepared in advance. When someone says you do the same thing, respond with, "That may be worth discussing separately. Right now I want to stay focused on this specific situation." When someone denies the behavior happened, return to your documented specifics. "I understand you remember it differently. I'm working from what I observed directly." When someone says you're being oversensitive, do not defend your feelings. Return to impact. "The effect on the team is what I want to address." If the deflection escalates into aggression, name that too. "I notice this conversation is becoming heated. I want to continue it, but not like this." Do not apologize for raising the issue. Not once. Here is a short script. "I hear that you feel this is being blown out of proportion. I understand that. But the impact on the team is real regardless of intent. And that is what I need us to address together." This step, done well, is where the conversation either begins to move forward or reveals that the other person is not willing to engage honestly. Either outcome gives useful information for what comes next. When passive aggression is also part of the pattern, how to address passive aggressive behavior that silently eroding team synergy gives your companion approach. Step 4. State what you need going forward. After you have named the behavior and worked through the deflection, you need to say clearly what you expect to change. This is not a wish. It is a statement. Many people get through the hard part of the conversation and then let it trail off with vague hope. I just hope things will be better. That kind of ending gives the toxic pattern room to keep growing. You need to be direct and specific about what different looks like. State the change you need in one sentence. Going forward, I need you to let team members finish speaking before you respond. Give a clear time frame if the context demands it. I need to see this change in the next 2 team meetings. Ask for verbal acknowledgement. Can you agree to that? A person who cannot even verbally agree to a reasonable request is showing you something important. Make sure the expectation is achievable and observable. You cannot enforce be more respectful. You can enforce do not interrupt people mid-sentence. If this is a managed relationship, be clear about what happens if the behavior continues. Do not threaten. State the reality. This step gives the conversation a concrete outcome rather than leaving both parties in ambiguity. Clarity is a form of respect, even in difficult conversations. For the skill of framing expectations through a structured feedback approach, how to use the SPY method to give feedback that actually changes behavior is worth your time. Step 5. Follow through without exception. This step is where most toxic traits responses ultimately succeed or fail. You can have the most skillful conversation imaginable, and it will mean nothing if you do not follow through on what you said. Toxic behavior persists largely because the people around it learn not to enforce their limits. The pattern has been tested and found reliable. Your job is to break that reliability. If you said there would be a consequence, and the behavior continues, apply the consequence. Every time. If you notice the behavior shifting slightly rather than stopping, address that too. Do not reward partial compliance with silence. Keep a brief written record of incidents and responses. This is not about building a legal case. It is about staying grounded in reality when the other person challenges your memory. Check in with yourself regularly. Are you beginning to normalize the behavior again? If yes, return to your documented specifics. If the behavior genuinely improves, acknowledge it. Briefly and sincerely. I have noticed a real difference in the last few meetings. I appreciate it. Here is what this step looks like in practice 2 weeks after your conversation. The same pattern appears in a team meeting. You do not let it pass. At the end of the meeting, you say quietly, "We spoke about this 2 weeks ago. It happened again today. We need to meet tomorrow." That follow-through is what makes the original conversation real. For building the confidence to deliver that kind of follow-up with clarity rather than tension, how to give constructive feedback without causing tension offers a practical framework. And if you need to frame that follow-up in a way that lands without defensiveness, how to use the empathy bridge before delivering critical feedback is an excellent companion read. Step 6. Protect your own ground. Responding to toxic traits is a sustained effort, not a single conversation. Over time, it wears on you. This step is about protecting your own capacity to keep responding well. People who deal with persistent toxic behavior over months often find their judgment eroding. They start doubting themselves, second-guessing their read of situations, and losing the confidence to respond clearly. That erosion is not weakness. It is the predictable result of sustained interpersonal pressure without adequate support. Tell one trusted colleague or friend what is happening. Not for gossip, but for reality check when your own perception starts to blur. Set a firm limit on how much of your mental energy this situation occupies outside of working hours. When you catch yourself rehearsing conversations at 11 at night, that is a signal. Distinguish between conversations that might lead to change and conversations that are simply draining you. Not every incident requires a response. If the person holds more power than you in the organization, document carefully and engage your HR process when appropriate. Recognize that protecting your own stability is not self-indulgence. It is what allows you to keep responding with clarity instead of desperation. This step does not get the attention it deserves. The most effective communicators I have known are not the ones who confront every issue loudly. They are the ones who protect their own judgment and respond from a place of genuine strength. Adapting this process for high-stakes power imbalances. When the person displaying toxic traits holds formal authority over you, the process above requires real adjustment. The stakes are higher, the options are narrower, and the risk of blowback is genuine. Document before you act. In a standard peer situation, documentation is useful. In a power imbalance, it is essential. Keep a factual log of specific incidents, dates, and witnesses. This is not paranoia. It is protection. Choose your moments carefully. Confronting a manager with toxic patterns in a public setting almost always backfires. Request a private conversation. Give them the dignity of a closed room. This reduces the chance of a defensive public performance and increases the chance of a genuine exchange. Involve a third party earlier. In a peer situation, you might work through several conversations before looping in HR or a senior colleague. In a power imbalance, bring a third party in sooner. Their presence changes the dynamic and provides a witness to both the behavior and your response. Adjust your language slightly. With someone senior, you can still name the behavior clearly, but frame it in terms of the team's performance and outcomes rather than your personal experience alone. The team's ability to contribute openly is being affected lands differently than you make me feel shut down. Know your exit conditions. Before you start, decide what outcome would tell you that the situation is not going to change. Having that line in your mind prevents you from staying too long in something that is genuinely harming you. The core process holds. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: waiting for the behavior to get bad enough to justify a response. Why it happens. We want to be fair and not overreact, so we keep raising the bar for what counts as serious enough to address. What to do instead? Respond to the pattern early, when you have more emotional resources and the stakes are lower. Early responses are almost always easier than late ones. The mistake: responding in the heat of the moment without preparation. Why it happens? The behavior triggers a strong emotional reaction, and you feel you must say something right now. What to do instead? Give yourself a day when possible. The conversation you have after sleeping on it will be sharper and more effective than the one you have in the corridor immediately after the incident. The mistake: making the conversation about character rather than behavior. Why it happens? After months of frustration, you want the person to understand what kind of person they are being, not just what they did. What to do instead? Stay rigorously focused on specific, observable actions and their concrete impact. Character accusations close conversations down. Behavioral observations keep them open. The mistake: backing down from a stated consequence to preserve the relationship. Why it happens? Following through feels harsh, and you hope the conversation alone will have been enough. What to do instead? Remember that not following through trains the other person, that your words have no weight. The relationship is better served by consistency than by capitulation. The mistake: handling every incident in isolation rather than naming the pattern. Why it happens? Each individual incident can seem small, and addressing the pattern feels like a bigger confrontation than addressing one incident. What to do instead? Connect the incidents explicitly. This is the third time I have needed to raise this is a more powerful statement than treating each conversation as if it is the first. You can find additional communication frameworks for these conversations in common communication mistakes that quietly destroy team synergy. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have written down the specific behavior I'm addressing with at least one concrete example. I can name the impact of that behavior on the team or on work outcomes. I've waited until I can speak from clarity rather than raw emotion. I know what outcome I want from this conversation. I have prepared my opening sentence and practiced it out loud. I have a prepared response ready for the three most likely deflections. I know what I will say if the behavior continues after this conversation. I have a trusted person I can debrief with after the conversation. I have decided what consequence I will apply if nothing changes. I am prepared to follow through on that consequence without exception. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a structured process for responding to toxic traits that does not rely on luck, perfect timing, or the other person's willingness to cooperate. That is a real shift from where most people start. Name the specific behavior, not the person's character, and anchor it in observable examples. Listen to the response before you push further. What you hear tells you exactly what you are dealing with. Address deflection calmly and directly, then return to the original point without apology. State what you need going forward in one specific, enforceable sentence. Follow through every single time, without exception. That consistency is what gives your words weight. Protect your own judgment and emotional capacity. You cannot respond well from a depleted position. Adapt the process for power imbalances by documenting earlier and involving third parties sooner. From here, I would suggest reading How to Deliver Negative Feedback Positively if you want to sharpen the tone of your follow-up conversations. If you're carrying the emotional weight of a long-running toxic dynamic, how to use the empathy bridge before delivering critical feedback will help you stay grounded and human even when the situation is exhausting. A consistent toxic traits response does not guarantee that the other person changes, but it guarantees that you stop absorbing the cost of their behavior in silence, and that is where everything begins. Frequently asked questions. What is toxic traits response in the workplace? A toxic traits response is how you choose to react when someone displays harmful behavioral patterns such as manipulation, blame shifting, or persistent aggression. A strong response is calm, direct, and grounded in clear expectations rather than emotion or avoidance. It protects your standards without escalating the situation unnecessarily. How do you respond to toxic traits without escalating conflict? You respond to toxic traits without escalating by naming the specific behavior, not the person, and staying focused on impact rather than intent. Preparing what you will say before the conversation and keeping your tone steady are the two most important tools available to you. Emotional preparation matters as much as the words you choose. Why do people struggle to respond to toxic traits effectively? Most people struggle because they either avoid the behavior out of fear or react emotionally in the moment. Neither approach addresses the pattern. A consistent, prepared response system is what separates people who handle these situations well from those who continue absorbing the damage in silence. What are the most common mistakes when dealing with toxic traits? The most common mistakes include ignoring the behavior until it escalates, responding with emotion rather than clarity, and making the conversation about character rather than specific actions. Each mistake tends to entrench the toxic pattern rather than disrupt it. The most costly mistake of all is backing down from a stated consequence. Can you change someone who displays toxic traits? You cannot change someone who displays toxic traits, but you can change how you respond to those traits and what consequences follow them. That shift in dynamic sometimes creates the conditions in which the other person chooses to change, but it is never guaranteed. Your goal is to protect your standards, not to fix another person. How do you set boundaries with someone showing toxic traits? Setting boundaries with someone showing toxic traits means stating clearly what behavior you will not accept and what will happen if it continues. The boundary only holds if you follow through consistently every time the behavior appears. Vague or unenforced boundaries give toxic behavior room to grow stronger, not weaker. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.